It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello everyone, welcome to my show. This is your host Tristan Pang on Planet FM 104.6. Youth Voices. Great to have your company here today. Due to COVID, I had to cancel quite a few keynote speeches and commitments this year. But luckily, I was able to fit one before the whole situation occurred. In February, my initiative, Gifted Learners Giving Back, held a day workshop for Southern Cross Campus. This DSR1 school brought in 30 of their high-performing students to the University of Auckland campus, and we held workshops and tours for these students with the goal of motivating students to set goals and work hard towards success. We also aim to show that learning is fun by demonstrating fun parts of academic work, such as showing physics experiments or doing field archaeology. Additionally, the students could see how tertiary education can both be fun and beneficial, and then could hence get a confidence boost. The feedback was great from these students. They were all motivated and hyped for entering university eventually, and actually the only negative piece of feedback was that the university campus was too big, since we did a walking tour at the end of the day. During lockdown, a couple of events had to be cancelled, including a teachers' conference, the New Zealand Association of Gifted Children National Conference, and also another school trip. But after opportunities started coming in again, last month, I volunteered and gave a talk at the Northern Club in Auckland. I passed on my message to the audience that education can indeed change lives, and that we should be supportive of less advantaged students wherever possible. The people were also interested to hear about my educational insights and experiences. Here is something I shared with them on that day. I started my educational pathway before I was two. I knew nothing about what year levels meant, and so I simply ignored them and kept exploring upwards in a very in-depth manner. When I was nearly five, I started to go through maths topics strand by strand, such as geometry and algebra. So when I finished a strand of algebra from, say, the year 1 to the year 13 book, I then moved on to the strand of geometry, again from the year 1 to the year 13 book, and so on and so forth. So as a result of all this, as a result of continually learning these topics strand by strand, it made me want to just keep moving upwards. This is just like when I read a storybook. I just can't stop reading, and I'm always very keen to find out what comes next in the story. And because of this excitement, it meant I could finish all 13 books in only a couple of weeks. I then had lots of time to kind of strengthen my knowledge and skills on the harder topics. When I self-study for an exam, I like to grasp the whole picture first. So, for example, I spend 1 week to complete the whole year's syllabus so that I can find out what's related. Then I can link up the related materials to form a kind of strand. It made me do research and target the key concepts much more easily. And likewise, this approach can be applied to every other subject, including history and geography and kind of other curriculum areas you might come across. Going back to the analogy, in this existing education system, the same topic is scattered over a number of years and jumps between these topics. I know some students find it hard to relate the topics to one another. I find these scatterings and jumpings into different topics, like reading a chapter of a storybook every year, but you have to wait until next year to find out what happens next. As for me, I like to enjoy a complete story or picture and achieve a complete ending. When dealing with such subjects, I normally spend extra hours to maybe search more deeply and to find out the reason behind the topic. That way I feel like I've developed an in-depth understanding of the topic rather than just covering the basics. So after talking about this, I moved on to a discussion about the current state of maths education. So why do we need maths? Last century, we had no calculators, no Wolfram Alpha, and no Google. So mathematics students and mathematicians needed to be able to do maths by hand, and to do that very quickly. Things like fast, accurate mental maths was crucial. But now, we have all these electronic and digital tools to help us with even faster and more accurate calculations, better than any human can do. So why do students need to memorize maths and to calculate so quickly? Well, they don't. Seriously, the maths curriculum should have changed this century. What students need to be able to learn is an understanding of these concepts and to be able to apply them and to build on them instead of having to learn how to do long calculations from scratch or to memorize things like multiplication tables. Take that as an example. Instead of asking students to memorize what, say, 6 times 7 is, that's 42, we need to let them understand things like 6 times 7 is the same as 7 lots of 6, which is 6 lots of 7. So that's 6 plus 6, 7 times, or 7 plus 7 plus 7, 6 times. Then we need to learn the basic rules and properties of multiplication, like commutativity, which is 6 times 7 equals 7 times 6, and the property of zeros, which is 0 times anything is 0. If they know these, then they can build on to harder concepts like algebra, then calculus, then analysis, and so on and so forth. But once they understand multiplication, there's no need for them to do it quickly or accurately, both in the real and research worlds. Why should we still need to be able to instantly multiply the numbers 7,263 by 123, say, in our heads? That's what our phones are for. For me, I got away with learning multiplication tables at primary school because I never actually needed to attend maths lessons. I was either sitting at the back of the classroom working on my own high school maths or helping classmates who were behind. So back to maths education, to use an analogy, back in the days, we had to learn maths like learning a single instrument, which involves lots of practice so we can play quickly and fluently. With maths, back in the days, we needed to practice doing these calculations. But we know that many instruments form an orchestra. So now we need to be the conductor. The conductor knows how each instrument works, but does not necessarily have great skills in them. Instead, the conductor needs to be able to have the creativity to put all the instruments together. So this conductor is us. We need to be able to put together the many concepts in maths and the many tools around us to come up with new methods, new solutions, and theorem. Anyways, on the topic of education, our guest today is a very exceptional case. You may have heard about this in last month's New Zealand Herald, the newly 14-year-old Vicky Ngo. Vicky has broken the Vietnam record being named as the youngest Vietnamese university student in the world, a title given by the Vietnam government. Despite having been in New Zealand for only 2 years, she has settled in very well, doing 1 year high school at Sewin College, and then being awarded as a top scholar for year 12 as a 12-year-old, before entering AUT as a contract student full-time the year later. Vicky and her mum have been in contact with me since they arrived in New Zealand, and I shared with them my experiences about entering university as an underage student. I'm very glad that that was of help to them. So I was delighted to have talked to Vicky earlier, so here's part one of the interview. Thank you, Vicky, for coming onto my show today.
Thank you for your time.
So you started university at the age of 13, right, Vicky? So how are you finding AUT so far?
Well, I found it completely different from high school. Like, the classes, most of the time your study is up to you. Your teacher hardly reminds you of the life like in high school. But also, I think you get more resources and help in uni. Like, in high school, you only got the library and your teacher and probably public library. But in uni, you can also have peer mentor services that can help check your assignment. So I think that's the main difference, and I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So basically the difference is that university is self-directed. You get more opportunities, more freedom, that sort of stuff, right? So at university, what do you study there?
I'm doing a control degree in Bachelor of Science in Maths and Bachelor of Business in Finance.
So, of course, well, you're 13, so of course you're way younger than the average 18-year-old, right?
Yes.
How do you find kind of the age difference interacting with older students and even the lecturers?
Well, it's kind of awkward. For the lecturer, it's normal because obviously your teacher is usually older than you, but all of your classmates are older than you, then it's quite awkward. But that also happened in high school when I jumped up to year 12 classes. Well, everyone is 2 years older than me. So it's not that really a shock for me to adapt into the new environment.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I applaud you for that, Vicky, for being able to adapt. Because, yeah, it really depends on kind of the group of friends you can find. And I think you have settled in very well, right?
Yeah.
So at university, you're doing a finance and a science degree. But what are your favourite subjects there? What do you find particularly interesting?
For me, the favorite subject is math. After that is programming. For me, I think that math is straightforward. It's clear. For other subjects like the arts and English, I found it quite general and broad.
Open-ended, right?
Yeah, like if you didn't see the NCEA exam back in high school. the question is pretty much just saying describe and explain. I think for everyone, they will have a different definition of how to describe and explain. But in math and those kind of subjects, it's just like solve the equation. That basically the same thing. It doesn't really have any other way to understand it, right?
Definitely, yeah. I guess the conception about math is there's only one correct answer.
Yeah.
Of course, when you get to higher level proofs, there might be many ways to solve a question, but the answer is always the same, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so you've been looking at math. You've taken a physics course as well, I believe. So what have you thought about different parts of math?
Probably because I say that math can be applied in many ways. So they're probably physics path or like computer science path. But I still
it's well, you're only starting off your path, so you've got plenty of time to figure out what you want to do with it. And yeah, I mean, for me, I think I went in with kind of an open mind, and I think you should do the same thing. I ended up specializing in number theory, but I only realized that about 3 years into my degree. Yeah, definitely, you've got plenty of time. Enjoy yourself and take as many courses as you can to try and broaden your knowledge. I think that's the way to it. So at the beginning, you kind of talked a little bit about the difference between high school and university, but could you kind of describe in detail about kind of, so you did how many years in Siwon College?
So far, I only did 1 year.
1 year. So how did you find that 1 year? You did NCA, right?
Yeah, I did that. I mean, in high school, the kind of assignment is mostly the same. Like, write a report, solve questions. It's not much like presentation, like in uni. Sometimes you have to. Or like speech. But in NCA, then you have to do speech. But in uni, it depends on your papers that you have to do more of it, and you need to do different thing in uni rather than in high school where you just sit on the paper, write the answer, done.
Yep.
Like in uni, they also got group project, which doesn't have in high school, based on my experiences.
Definitely. I understand that you are a international student, Vicky. So, what hoops did you have to face coming to New Zealand and that sort of stuff?
Well, most of the time is the expenses. For domestic students, they only need probably 6 or 7,000 per year. And they also have the first year free. So it's way easier than international students who they need to pay probably 40,000 or maybe around that. But they must do that because they're international and they just got to the world and go to part-time job to get money to pay for living and studying. Like, this is the only way they can stay in New Zealand. For domestic students, they can go to work for experiences, but it might not necessary for them because, you know, the fee is, like, 6 times lower than those, than international students.
We can get student loans and that sort of stuff, government support. I can definitely see that financially. Being an international student is quite a lot harder than a domestic. Aside from your academic work, Vicky, what are your pastimes? What do you like doing outside uni?
Usually I like to play squash and sometimes swimming, but I prefer squash better because, you know, you can just go to the court and do it right away. And the swimming got to do all the stuff as well. And I also like listening to music or read books, but usually I only read scientific books. Like, not that complicated, but there's also fiction book that I quite like. And probably I'll draw. So far, that's that.
Tune in next month for the second part of the interview. Vicky will talk about her experiences about the differences between New Zealand and Vietnam. Wow, that was such a cool interview. We can learn from Vicky by pursuing our own passions and also working hard where we can. Anyways, that's it for us today. If you have any feedback, please visit my website, www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. That's QUEST-IS-FUN.org.nz/youthvoices. Or email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com. Thanks a lot for tuning in and see you next month. Goodbye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.